across for the rest of the game. Ma parked in front of Michael's house and honked twice. Michael came out in his thick gray wool coat, slacks, and dress shoes, his cold stare landing on me before he climbed into the back seat. "Good morning, Michael," Ma said sweetly.
"Morning, Mrs. Coleman,"
Michael said, his voice low.
"Thanks for the ride."
Ma stared pointedly at me, and I held back a groan.
"Morning, Michael," I muttered to the floor.
"Morning," he mumbled. Ma's eyes flickered between us before she chuckled. "Okay, then." After a frosty car ride to church, we parked in the main lot, and Michael jumped out, almost speeding two steps ahead of us. He greeted Pastor Duncan by the front door and ran inside. Ma grabbed my arm as we passed the stairs.
"Okay, what's going on between you two?"
I shrugged, balancing the boxes of pies.
"Nothing?"
She raised an eyebrow. "Claudia May, don't you lie to me."
"If you think I'm lying, then why don't you ask Golden Boy?"
Ma's head almost spun off.
"Girl, have you lost your mind with all that sass? You want to be on punishment for the rest of your life?"
I took a deep breath to steady myself.
"Sorry, Ma," I muttered. "Can we go inside now? It's cold."
Ma's eyes narrowed before she stomped inside. We greeted Pastor and dropped the pies off in the kitchen. I sat in the very back pew, while Ma hung out in the nursery room. She liked caring for the babies during service. She could quiet even the fussiest one. Michael walked around like the church greeter, shaking hands and giving soft hugs. Everyone seemed at ease with him. I seemed to be the only one who noticed the strain behind his eyes. His exhaustion, as if he hadn't slept in days. He glanced at me across the room, his fake smile fading. He quickly headed to the balcony and reported to his post in the audio booth before the call to worship. After service, we trooped back to the car. Michael followed but kept his distance, hands stuffed in his pockets, feet dragging. Ma grinned at me as she unlocked the doors.
"Michael, you have any plans for dinner?"
I cocked my head to the side, pursing my lips. Michael glanced at me, then back at Ma.
No, ma'am."
"Well, why don't you come home with us? I'm making chicken fried steak. You're more than welcome." His eyes brightened at the word steak.
"Yeah, I mean, thank you."
"Thanks, Michael. You can put those down in the kitchen," Ma said, holding the front door open. Michael insisted on carrying all the groceries inside by himself. I don't think I ever rolled my eyes so much in my entire life.
"Claudia, take his coat, then help me put these away,"
Ma ordered.
"Michael, make yourself at home."
Michael stood by the door, taking in our living room. He gently handed me his coat, staring at the TV.
"Why's your TV sitting on those big speakers?"
First words he'd spoken directly to me all day.
"It's been broke for a while. Daddy just hasn't had a chance to fix it yet."
Michael slowly approached the set, kneeling like a paramedic checking for a pulse.
"Will it live?"
I chuckled. He looked up at the wall, tapping on a few spots with his knuckle, and leaned in to listen.
"You know where your dad keeps his tools?"
For the next hour, Michael went to work pulling wires, drilling holes, measuring, and fastening brackets to the wall. I watched him from the kitchen, helping Ma peel sweet potatoes for mash. After April left me for dead in the classroom, the look Michael had given me when I returned to the gym could have shredded me down to crayon flakes. Never want him to look at me like that again.
"Offer him some water," Ma said under her breath.
I glanced over my shoulder.
"He's fine. Claudia May. I just about had it with you today. Offer that boy some water now."
I huffed, slamming everything I could get my hands on. Cupboard, cup, counter, and poured him a glass.
"Thanks,"
Michael said as I passed him the drink, wiping the sweat off his forehead. His sleeves rolled up
and Ty long gone. He took a long sip with a refreshing, then pulled out his cell phone. I need to look up the make and model of these speakers. What's your Wi-Fi password? We don't have Wi-Fi. Michael flinched and shook the water out his ears. What? But the box is right there. I shrugged. It doesn't work. He sighed. You got a flashlight? For the next 30 minutes, Michael rewired our modem, hooked up the Wi-Fi, and reconfigured our computer. By the time Daddy walked in the door, Michael had finished screwing closed the speakers. Oh, hey, Mr. Coleman, Michael said with a wave. Glad you're here. Can you help me lift this? It's a two-man job. Daddy dropped his bag by the door as he looked every which way, like he had walked into the wrong house. Who are you? He barked. And what you doing with my tools? Hi, Mr. Coleman. I'm Michael, he laughed. From church. Daddy glanced over at me, sitting at the computer, then back at him. Mikey? It's Michael now, baby, Ma said, walking out to kiss him. Dinner's almost ready. Do what the young man says. Daddy scowled, following her into the kitchen. What is this boy doing in my house? Playing with my TV? Daddy asked in a loud whisper. Shh. That's Sweet Pea's friend. Woman, I said she needed more friends, not a boyfriend. Michael and I locked eyes, my face 1,000 degrees, praying the day would end already. Calm down. He's a nice young man. Young man, indeed. And ain't he in high school? He too old for her. Ma chuckled. And you too old for me. Now go help the boy before he hurt himself lifting that thing. Daddy sucked his teeth. Gerald, if nothing else, your daughter sure got your stubbornness. Daddy marched back into the living room, grumbling. He lifted and balanced the TV on the bracket with ease. This TV's pretty cool, Mr. Coleman, Michael said, tightening the screws. Yeah, thanks. Won it at a work raffle. Just haven't had a chance to fix it yet. My coach could use one of these for his office, for when we're going over our tapes. He got one of those old TVs with the fat backs. Daddy raised an eyebrow. You play football? Offensive tackle, Michael said, smiling proud. What's your 40? 5.20? Really? Next thing you know, Michael and Daddy are talking nonstop about football. On and on, even through dinner. Made sense. Folks just fall in love with Michael, without him even trying. Ma laughed, serving Michael seconds and throwing me sympathetic looks as I sulked. Ma and Daddy offered to clean up the kitchen, while Michael and I ate dessert in the living room. I played with the flaky crust on my slice of blueberry pie, before dropping my spoon, fed up with the awkwardness. You really just gonna stay mad at me? What do you want me to say? I'm sorry? He sucked his teeth. Man, I don't want your fake apology. That was just real dumb what you did, chasing after that hoe like that. How you know her? And how you know she's a hoe? You were there, weren't you? Coach always says, call it like you see it. Still, don't talk about her like that. She's my best friend's sister. He blinked in shock, as if I spoke Japanese, struggling to find a recognizable word. But that don't mean she's your friend, Claudia. My tongue swelled. He was right. April wasn't my friend, or even family. Without Monday, April was just a few steps away from being a stranger. A dangerous stranger. Anyways, I'm not mad at you. Just mad we didn't really get to chill the way I wanted to. You wanted to? Thought I was just some girl from church. Michael fidgeted. Well, I didn't want people thinking we, you know, unless you wanted them to. Folks talk. You of all people should know. Was that it? He was protecting me? From rumors?
Hey, what are y'all talking about in here?
Daddy said, emerging with cans of root beer, Ma following.
We were talking about your band, Michael said, winking at me.
I want to come to your next gig. I smirked, playing along.
Daddy got a new song he's been working on.
Daddy laughed.
Just coming from the studio today.
Really? Let's hear it, Michael said. We can hook it up to the speakers.
Go on, baby, Ma cheered. Show us what you got.
Dear Monday, last night Daddy played his new song, and I teach Ma some dance moves. Since today was President's Day, and we had off, Michael came over to chill. We watched videos on YouTube, them stupid ones you like, laughing till we cry. Then Daddy came home with some crab legs and corn, so we had a crab boil, right in our kitchen. Ma even made that sour cream pound cake you like. I think you'd like Michael. I already know what you're thinking, and no, I don't like him like that. Well, maybe I do. He kinda cute, and real sweet. I saw April the other day, and she told me some things. And I don't know. April lies, but you ain't here to clear anything up. It's been months, and you just leave without saying nothing? What's up with that? The before. Somewhere in the middle of it all, I started liking the Learning Center. I sat in the back of the room with The Secret Life of Bees streaming through my headphones. TLC tutors gave me books on CD so I could read along, like the way Monday used to read to me. I didn't want them thinking I belonged there forever. But for the first time in months, I started to feel like my old self. My grades weren't in the trash. My admission essay was on point. And my interview at Banneker was scheduled for the next month. Aside from the constant feeling that I was forgetting to do something, I floated on a blissful cloud. That is, until Ms. Valenti rushed in the room, as if being chased, bringing me back down to earth.
Ms. E., can I borrow Claudia for a bit?
Ms. Valenti said sweetly, smoothing her dress down with shaky hands. Her eyes strained.
She's, helping me with a special project I'm working on.
Ms. E. shrugged, closing her workbook.
Sure, of course.
Ms. Valenti gave me a tight smile, nodding at the door. I collected my books, avoiding the curious stares from my classmates. Ms. Valenti sped down the hall, her heels clicking fast. I trailed, almost jogging to keep up with her. She stopped short, glancing both ways before dipping into the teacher's lounge, slamming the door behind us, and holding it as if to keep the world out. She breathed through her nose hard and stared at me, her face crumbling into a thousand different expressions, like she didn't know what to say or where to begin.
You were right, she said, pressing the door once more before taking staggering steps toward the kitchenette.
I took a long blink at the empty spot she left.
What?
I whispered, my voice cracking. She rinsed a mug off in the sink and let her thumb trace the rim.
I went by the house yesterday, she said, pouring herself a cup of coffee, hands still trembling.
I shifted closer, my heart racing as if I had danced for hours straight.
What happened?
She shook her head.
That woman. There's something wrong with her.
We caught eyes for a second before sitting at a table by the window. She wouldn't let me in, wouldn't tell me anything. I couldn't really see inside, but there was this little girl standing in some dirty underwear, and that woman, she slammed the door in my face. Tuesday smelled like pee, I thought with a gulp.
What did you do?
I called 911. I tried to get them to come by right away. Did they come? Did you see Monday? She shook her head. Social services said an officer went by, and everyone was accounted for.
The officer saw Monday in the house?
Her lip pursed. That's what they say.
You don't believe him?
I don't believe shit anyone says around here anymore. She mumbled. I filed a report with CFSA. I don't care about breaking protocol. Someone has to do something.
Fear sharpened its claws on my rib cage, preparing to dig deeper into me.
There's something else, Ms. Valenti added. Remember a time when Monday was out of school for a few weeks? Well, she wasn't sick.
My body suddenly felt hollow. Everything inside turned to dust.
Oh, God. 2 years ago, Ms. Valenti said, talking in hushed whispers, like the whole school was listening. Monday, August, and her sisters were taken out of the house for neglect.
Neglect? Like child abuse?
Neglect can mean a lot of things, she said, taking a long sip of her coffee. But Mrs. Charles took some court-ordered parenting classes, which allowed her to regain custody. CFSA was supposed to do a follow-up visit, but I'm not sure if those visits were confirmed. She looked at me.
Did Monday ever mention anything?
I shook my head.
Nah. Nothing? Nothing about her mother? Was she scared of her?
I shrugged. I mean, who isn't scared of their mother? The corner of her mouth crept into the faintest grin.
Yes, but more than normal, she pressed. Can you think of any time she was just petrified?
My mind flashed back to the fight at school, the way Monday trembled in the principal's office.
We need to find her. Now. We can't barge into the woman's home and take her children. The authorities have to follow up.
I clutched my stomach, the room growing humid as more questions scratched at my throat.
Do you think something bad has happened to her?
Ms. Valenti placed her cup on the table.
No, oh God, no, Claudia. Nothing like that. I'm sure she's fine. She's somewhere safe. But we just gotta figure out where.
She nodded a few times.
But you must promise me, Claudia. Promise me that no matter what, you won't go near that house again. Between her, that report, and what I saw, I don't know. There's something about that woman. Makes my skin crawl.
I nodded, knowing it was a promise I had no intention on keeping. March. March used to be my favorite month. Spring break happens in March. Good Friday and Easter sometimes happen in March. And my birthday happens in March. April was supposed to be born in March. Instead, she popped out a whole 2 weeks later, on April Fool's Day, no less, and she's been lying ever since. You never know what to expect with her. She falls somewhere between brownish, yellow, amber, caramel, and copper, with a shimmer of fairy dust. Her color is gold, so similar to her mother, yet drastically different. People melt, shift, and mold her into jewelry that they can wear when they want to feel regal. You're drawn to her solidness, strength, and pure beauty. But when she is not gold, when her insides are hollowed to the point where there is nothing left, she can turn your skin green. The After. Adele has a haunting voice. Unearthly. Triggering. Instead of finishing Ms. Walker's worksheets in the library as promised, I stared out the window, at the passing cars on Good Hope Road, holding one of my filter gels up to my face and letting the whole world turn mossy green. Michael helped download All I Ask on my iPod, and I listened to it on repeat, trying to find the pulse of the song. She sings to the person she loves, knowing it's over,
but begs for one last moment, questioning whether she'll love someone the same. At the end of the song, the tempo picks up, and Adele sings more desperately, pleading to hold on to one last memory of the way they were. I close my eyes, envisioning it, trying to think of anyone I would beg for one more moment with. But only Monday came to mind. I loved her. Well, I mean not like that. I didn't love her in a way a girl loved a girl, like romantically. I loved her more like a soulmate loved a soulmate. Who makes up the rules for who your soul belongs to? But what if April was right? What if I didn't really know Monday? It explained why she'd leave me like this. Something slammed on the table and jolted me out of the moment. Michael huffed, his book bag on the table. His face hardened. I gathered up my worksheets and stuffed them into my bag. What are you doing here? He rolled his eyes. You said you come here in the afternoons, right? Yeah, but that wasn't an invitation. I shot back, feigning annoyance. Michael slumped down into his seat, pinching the bridge of his nose. Look, can we not do this today? I swallowed back the curse on my lip and played dumb. Do what? This, he snapped, waving between us. This, where you pretend that everything's all right with you and that you don't want company when you know you do, and me pretending I don't know what's wrong with you. Can we please just... Not today. My mouth hung open as he ripped a history textbook out of his bag. What's up? He stabbed his notebook a few times with his pen and sighed. My dad wants to stay there. In Dubai. Oh, I said with a shrug, until the weight of his words sank in. Oh. Yeah, O was right, he muttered. He says the money is too good, and Mom could get a teaching job out there. He wants me to come visit him next month to look at schools. Wow, I muttered. And the worst part? They don't even have football out there. He slammed down his pen, legs shaking the table. No wonder, I thought. Football meant the world to him. I couldn't imagine moving to a place where I could never dance again. Well, what are you going to do? Doesn't look like I have a choice. Mom already has her first phone interview next week. Suddenly it hit me. If he moved, I wouldn't have anyone left. You can't find anyone to stay with here? I asked, grasping at straws. Michael raised an eyebrow. Stay with? You mean like live with? I nodded. Yeah, there's a kid at my school that's staying with his aunt until he graduates. Can't you do the same? Move in with a family member until you finish school? What about your grandma? My grandma? Michael rubbed his chin. Well, yeah. I guess I could ask her. But what about my parents? You'll still see them. They'll visit you. You'll visit them. You'll all be happy. Michael nodded for a few moments, then smiled. Yeah, you're right. I'ma ask her. Thanks, Claudia. You got some good ideas cooking up there. I laughed. I've been told. And by the way, you got the date wrong. Huh? The date. I laughed. You wrote down the wrong year. Michael glanced down at his notebook and gulped. Oh, yeah, you're right. My bad, he said, ripping and crumbling the page out of his book, then nodded at my book bag, one of my gels still poking out sloppily. So, what are you working on? Dread rolled up in my throat, thick and solid as cold gravy fat. Nothing. He gave me a knowing smile. You know, there's this kid in my team who, well, goes to TLC at my school. They gave him his own private tutor and everything. He does better on tests than the rest of us. What? Those gel sheets, he admitted, with a guilty shrug.
That stuff Grandma gives you? I've seen kids use that at school, too.
My heart jerked, and I sprung up.
Did you tell people?
What?
Nah. Who am I going to tell?
Everybody. You know everybody.
Claudia, I swear.
I want to do that.
I shoved the rest of my stuff in my bag. Tears brimming, humiliated, that he now knew the one secret I worked so hard to keep from everyone. Miss Manis opened the studio on Saturday afternoons for freestyle, in preparation for our recital. The other girls never took advantage of the opportunity. Saturdays were meant for chilling with boys and friends. I didn't have those fun problems. I leaned into a stretch, widening my legs to feel it deep in my hips. Happy to be alone in the one place I had real control. The one place my past couldn't touch me. The one place it didn't matter if I could read or not. A sanctuary from the outside world. But you can read, a voice inside me said. I believed that voice. The more I worked with Ms. Walker, read, and listened to books on tape, what scared me, though, was others. Like Michael, thinking I couldn't. What he thought of me mattered. I hooked my iPod to the speakers, setting All I Ask on repeat. I loved the opening. There's no warm-up. It jumps out the gate with a rumble. The harsh start helped my pacing. More familiar. But nothing about my dance screamed the elegancy it needed. Instead of moving like water, I moved like a heavy rock.
You have to smile.
Her voice carried over the music, and I spun to stop. Megan leaned against the doorframe, dressed in leggings and an oversized off-the-shoulder sweater, her gym bag slung on her arm.
That's why you look so stiff, she chuckled. You have to breathe and smile.
The moment someone tells me to breathe is the moment I notice the sharp pain in my chest when I'm not. And maybe if you relaxed your neck a little and fell into the turn, like this. She dropped the bag, slipping out of her sneakers, and galloped across the floor. Watch me, then you do it. She faced the mirror, elongating her neck, turning on the brightest smile, before rolling back her shoulders. She glided across the floor, spinning into a series of chaîne turns with her eyes closed, letting her neck surrender to it, the move smooth as silk. See? Easy. You try. I nodded, shaking the nerves out of my arms and legs.
Girl, you're already overthinking it, Megan laughed.
Loosen up. Ain't no one in here but us. Smile, like a beauty queen. I grinned, showing all my teeth and fluttering my lashes.
Yeah,
she laughed. Just like that. We tried the turn 10 more times, each time trying to make each other laugh, with silly smiles and dramatic movement. The turn became so natural, I almost forgot why we were practicing it.
Shit, what time is it? Megan said, running over to her bag. Ah, damn, I have to go.
With a twinge of disappointment, I watched her slip on her sneakers, realizing I could have spent the whole afternoon laughing with her. I missed laughing.
Hey, thanks for helping me. This was fun.
Fun? Ha! That was nothing, she said, focused on her laces until her head popped up.
Hey, what you doing tonight?
I shrugged.
Nothing.
I'm having a little sleepover at my house. You want to come?
Sure. I gotta ask my mom first.
Cool. Here's the invite. She reached into her bag and handed me a folded-up piece of loose-leaf paper, torn out of a binder with hearts and stars drawn around her address. See you later. She called over her shoulder before running out the door.
You're going to have so much fun, Ma said for the thousandth time during the car ride over to Megan's house. Your first sleepover party.
The moment I asked Ma about Megan's sleepover party, she flew into a frenzy. She ironed my pajamas, packed my teal overnight bag, even whipped up a fresh batch of chocolate chip cookies. I changed my outfit 3 times before we left. This wasn't just some regular sleepover. This was a sleepover with high school girls. Girls by default, much flyer than me. But Megan invited me, so she must think I'm cool, right?
You know, maybe we could have a sleepover party for your birthday,
Ma said, beaming at the thought.
And you can invite your new friends.
Really?
Yeah. It would be so much fun, a pajama jam.
I never had a real birthday party before. That's the thing about having one friend. Your experiences are limited.
Well, if I have a party, can Monday come?
Ma's lips tightened, her eyes widening.
Claudia, we'll talk about that later.
I snuggled in my seat, unable to hide my smile. It would be the perfect test. Monday wouldn't dare miss my birthday. She loved birthdays more than Christmas. And if she did miss it, I would never speak to her again. Ma pulled up to a townhouse in Northwest, just a few blocks from the convention center, and those first day of school jitters marched their way up my spine like a parade of ants.
Okay, here we are. Just try to have a good time, sweet pea. Try to just be in the moment and forget about everything else that's going on. Try to make new friends. Okay?
What she really wanted to say, don't talk about Monday. I nodded with a weak smile.
Okay. Don't forget the cookies.
My legs stiffened as I made my way up the porch steps. I heard the sounds of muffled music, laughter, and joy.
Be in the moment. Smile,
I whispered to myself. I took a deep breath and rang the bell. The door swung open. Bass and bright lights slapped my face. Megan stood grinning.
Hey, you made it.
Hey, I said, my voice cracking. I'd forgotten how different she looked out of her dance gear. Hair down, straightened, wearing tight jeans and a white tank top.
Come on in.
I turned and waved at Ma. Even in the dark car, you could see her glowing grin as she waved back before I stepped inside.
What's all this?
Megan chuckled, pointing at the enormous Tupperware bin in my hands, my pillow tucked under my armpit, and my overnight bag weighing down my shoulder. My mommy made us cookies, I said, wincing as soon as the words flew out of my mouth. My mommy? What am I, 5?
Hey, cool. Well, pizza just got here. Hope you like Papa John's.
She grabbed the Tupperware out of my hand, and I followed her into a living room with a huge mocha L-shaped sofa, a big flat-screen TV hanging up above the fireplace, and African oil paintings in gold frames hanging up on cobalt blue walls.
Hey, y'all. Claudia's mom made us some cookies.
Some familiar faces looked up from their spots on the plush rug.
Claudia. You know Shannon and Catherine from dance. Outside, we call Catherine Kit Kat.
Hey, Claudia, they said in unison and giggled, flipping through magazines, stuffing their mouths with pepperoni slices.
And that's Paris. She goes to school with us.
Paris sat on the sofa, playing with an iPod hooked up to a speaker. She had copper-brown hair that complemented her creamy cocoa skin and specks of freckles.
Hi.
I said, trying to match their enthusiasm.
Maybe they were messing around with makeup, like Monday and I used to do, but they looked almost too polished, extra grown-up.
While they were all in jeans and t-shirts, I somehow felt underdressed in my light purple sweatpants and matching hoodie. Megan handed me 2 slices, while Shannon switched to Chris Brown's album and joined us on the floor.
Anyways, so like I was saying, that boy... Just trying to get in them drawers, Shannon said to Paris.
And? Paris snapped with a smirk.
So what? I'm trying to get some too.
The girls laughed as I picked over my pizza.
Nah, you see the way he all over her all the time?
Kit Kat said, stuffing her mouth.
That boy love her.
Megan rolled her eyes.
Yeah, I've seen him look at a few chicks like that too. All I'm saying, if you're gonna do it, you wanna do it with
Someone special. Someone who makes you feel, I don't know, safe. Someone who's good. Shannon bumped her with her shoulder.
Like Cam?
Megan smiled coyly. Yeah. Paris shook her head.
But that's how I feel with Andre.
Kit Kat groaned.
Fine. But you could at least play hard to get or something, dang.
The girls laughed, and I giggled along with nothing to contribute to the conversation. My experience with boys was limited to my imagination, and what Monday had told me, which wasn't much. It didn't take long for the girls to devour the entire tub of cookies, washing it down with Pepsi. I tried to keep up with the conversations, the boys they liked, the girls they didn't, but they talked so fast my head began to ache.
Okay, which one of you bitches want to do my nails?
Shannon asked, pulling a bunch of nail polishes out of her book bag.
Me!
I yelped. Shannon's face tightened.
Okay.
I grabbed a magazine sitting on the coffee table and scooted over to make room.
You sure you know what you're doing?
'Cause I need my nails to look good for later. Shannon and Megan exchanged a weird glance. I smiled.
I got you. What color you want?
This one, she said, passing a bottle of mint green. I started with her right hand, the others observing every stroke of paint. Kit Kat cleared her throat with a grin.
So, Claudia, I heard you were running after April Charles at the game, or whatever.
I swallowed, holding my hand steady. I looked up at Megan for help, but she only blinked. Of course. She must have seen me almost get trampled to death following April.
She's my best friend's sister.
You could hear a pin drop, the way they all froze in shock, as if they couldn't imagine me having a best friend. Kit Kat glanced at Megan, raising an eyebrow.
So, y'all cool like that or whatever?
Shannon said, blowing one hand dry.
Not really.
It wasn't a lie. Like Michael said, we weren't friends.
Good, 'cause she a hoe.
Kit Kat snorted.
Girl, chill, Megan said, laughing.
What?
I ain't telling her nothing she didn't know before. And if she didn't, it's better to hear it from us, right?
Megan shook her head and sighed.
What she's trying to say is, well, if you get seen with her, people gonna think you just like her. You know, like birds of a feather flock together.
And you don't want to be nothing like that bird.
Kit Kat mumbled. Megan shook her head.
Damn, Kat.
What? A hoe is a hoe is a hoe. I ain't gonna sugarcoat shit to make it easier for her to swallow.
And we all know you know how to swallow.
Shannon cackled, flicking her tongue at her. The girls laughed and my stomach clenched, thoughts crashing into one another. Is it okay to hang out with girls who talk trash about my best friend's sister? Shouldn't I be defending her? I mean, what would Monday do if she were here? But she's not here. She stepped out of our bubble, straight abandoned me when I needed her most. What if Daddy was right? What if she just didn't want to be my friend anymore? What would I get out of defending her bullying sister? So I joined them, letting out a nervous laugh, pretending to be a part of their inside joke, just to belong. I miss belonging to something. Shannon examined her nails.
Damn, you're pretty good.
You want a design or something on them? I asked.
For real?
Hell yeah. I took out my travel nail kit, packed in the small pocket of my overnight bag. I always did Monday's nails during sleepovers, so on my head, it made sense to bring it. The room fell silent as they watched me add gold dots on every other nail with my paint pen.
All done.
Wow, Shannon gasped. Yo, this is so hot.
Who taught you how to do nails like this?
Paris asked, carefully admiring Shannon's hand, while Kit Kat rotated the other.
This is better than the shop.
Taught myself.
It's easy once you get used to it. Ooh, do me next.
Kit Kat jumped up.
Then me,
Megan said. For the next hour, we talked more about boys, music, and celebrity gossip. We laughed until soda spit out of our noses while I finished everyone's nails. Megan, red with black dots like a ladybug. Kit Kat, pink with silver stripes like a candy cane. Paris, French manicure with a coffee base and black tips. Suddenly, quick steps rushed down the stairs. A woman dressed in hospital scrubs with a short jet black bob. The spitting image of Megan sped through the living room.
Ladies, I'm off. I expect my kitchen to be clean in the morning, the woman said, busy digging through a junky purse.
Yes, Ms. Ford,
the girls responded in unison.
And no plan on my... She finally noticed me and smiled.
Oh, and who is this beautiful lady?
This is Claudia from dance,
Megan beamed, shooting out her hand.
Look, she did my nails.
Hi, Claudia from dance. Nice to meet you.
She chuckled, examining Megan's fingertips.
Very nice.
Nice to meet you too, ma'am.
Lord, please don't call me ma'am. Makes me feel old.
She winked at me as she slipped on her coat.
Okay, Meg. I'll see you in the morning.
Ooh, Mom, could you make us pancakes in the morning?
Please,
the girls begged behind me. She laughed.
If I'm not too tired, I'll see what I can do.
Later, ladies.
Where's your mom going? I whispered.
She's a nurse at Howard Hospital. Night shift,
Megan said, then waved at the door.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, Mrs. Fort,
the girl said in unison like a chorus of bells.
Have fun, girls,
she said, closing the door behind her. The room went deathly still before everyone leaped up and scattered.
Okay, y'all. We got 15 minutes, Megan ordered, packing up the pizza box, careful not to smudge her nails.
For what? I said. Shannon and Paris stripped off their t-shirts and jeans, standing boldly in their lacy red and turquoise push-up bras.
I can't believe I fit in my mom's bras now, Shannon said to Paris, cupping her breast.
Crazy, right? I turned so I wouldn't stare. Kit Kat changed into a white crop top. Her belly button was pierced with a silver hoop and a dangling diamond-encrusted star.
Told you they would,
Paris said, slipping into a low-cut black dress.
But those regular Victoria's Secret bras are so expensive. That's why I only buy pink.
Oh, dag. Meg, can I borrow your lipstick? I left mine.
Yeah, you know where it's at,
Megan said, changing into a tight burgundy-striped tank dress. She hiked up her boobs so they sat right at the neckline.
And bring down the flat iron, Kit Kat said, grinning at me.
I want to hook up your hair.
What's going on? I asked.
Megan smiled.
We didn't want to tell you because we just wanted to make sure you were cool.
Kit Kat brought you some clothes to borrow, since y'all almost the same size, Paris added. Kit Kat dug into her book bag and passed me a skirt and a black top.
These should fit.
I got the iron, Paris said, running back downstairs, her thick lips now rosy pink.
Hurry up. We only got 10 minutes before the cab gets here.
Where are we going?
Megan plopped in front of me, grinning wide, and pulled out her makeup kit.
To a party.
A breeze hit my bare stomach as I stepped out of the cab, parked in front of a cream-and-brick two-story home in Hyattsville, Maryland, not far from the PG County Mall. I recognized the route as we drove. Daddy would kill me if he found me roaming out here without him, especially dressed like this. The crop top Kit Kat let me borrow might as well have been a bra, and the skirt set so short I'd only have to bend slightly before an ass cheek popped out. I begged to keep my jean jacket, so I would have pockets to stash my money and lip gloss, but really so I wouldn't feel naked. Following the low thud of music, I trailed behind a grinning Megan, heading around to the back. Paris, Kit Kat, and Shannon strutted like supermodels. Hair, outfits, faces, flawless.
I stumbled down the concrete path in Megan's high-heeled boots like a clown on stilts. The music grew louder as we approached a door under the back deck. A guy stood in front with his eyebrow raised. Megan whispered a few words in his ear as he gave us a once-over, eyes falling on me. He probably could see through my caked foundation, glued-on lashes, and ruby-red lipstick, and just knew I didn't belong. Panicking, I grabbed my compact and checked to make sure my edges were straight, flashing him a smile. He nodded at Megan before letting us in. We clunked down the steep steps to a smoky, low-ceilinged basement, full of kids just like us. Well, not like me, but older kids, high school kids. They stood in thick clusters, drinking, laughing, grinding on each other. But the room came to a standstill when we entered, as if they all had zeroed in on the one outsider in the room, me. A boy, tall, with brown skin and a splash of freckles on his cheeks, moved through the crowd in our direction, his expressionless eyes locked on us. He's about to kick me out, I thought, taking an unsteady step toward the door. Hey, babe, he said to Paris, roping his arms around her waist and pulling her into a tight hug. They kissed. And I don't mean a regular kiss. I mean, they were kissing like they could drown in each other. I kept my eyes on the floor to keep from staring. Megan smirked, bumping me with her shoulder. Sorry I'm late, Paris cooed. That's okay. I missed you today. Paris gazed up at him. I missed you too. Kit Kat faked a gag. Come on, let's get a drink. We made our way through the packed room, all eyes on us. I focused on keeping my balance as a million questions ran through my head. Who are all these kids? Whose house is this? Do their parents know they dress like this? And do any of them know my parents and will they tell on me? On the table in the corner sat rows of half-empty bottles of brown liquor, a bag of melting ice, and a stack of red cups. Kit Kat and Megan went to work, mixing drinks. What's this? I asked, as Megan shoved a cup in my hand. It's good. Just try it. Kit Kat sucked her teeth. Don't be a baby. I ain't no baby, I snapped, with a cold stare. Yeah? Then prove it, she spat, flicking the cup. Be in the moment, Claudia. I licked my lips, closed my eyes, and took a big gulp. The lukewarm liquor ran down my throat like a thousand knives, and I held back a cough. See? Told you she was cool, Megan said, nudging Kit Kat. She's too pretty to be all uptight. Kit Kat laughed. Whatever. They giggled, the way Monday and I used to, which made me only want to drink more to erase the memories. What the hell are you doing here? I flinched, spitting out my drink. His rough voice could have brought the whole party to a stop. Michael stood behind me, so close I had to step back to look up at him. His eyes went wide as he stared down at my bare stomach. What is he doing here? This wasn't his crowd at all. We brought her, Megan said, looping her arm through mine. Michael clenched his cup. Megan, you crazy to bring her up in here, he seethed. You know she ain't ready for all this. And she ain't never gonna be ready if everybody keep on babying her, Megan snapped back. How long y'all gonna keep her in the dark? He rolled his eyes, turning to me. Your mom know you're here? Shannon raised an eyebrow, mouthing an, oh shit, to Megan and Kit Kat. Michael's only a year older than me, yet I felt caught red-handed by Daddy. How dare he try to embarrass me in front of everybody? Does your mom know you're here? Or your dad? Wherever he is? I snapped. I mean, dang, why you sweating me? Michael's mouth dropped, as if I punched him in the throat. He shook his head before storming off to some friends hanging by the DJ. Guilt crept in quick. Maybe I went too far. Megan smirked as if reading my mind. He'll be fine. Come on.
Let's chill over here.
We sat on a smelly gray sofa under the basement steps next to Paris, Andre, and a couple of his friends. The party was cranking, folks laughing and dancing, when it hit me. I'm at a high school party. How would I tell Monday about this? About my hair, my makeup, the nasty brown drink in my cup making my body tingle. Michael stayed in the corner, his eyes flicking in my direction every 30 seconds. I shouldn't have been so mean to him. Talking about his dad was a low blow. But I didn't need a babysitter.
He's all worried about you, Megan whispered. He's feeling you.
Nah, we're just friends from church, I said with a laugh, trying to downplay it, the same way he always downplayed me. He thinks he's my big brother or something. She rolled her eyes.
Well, he don't act that way with other girls at school, and they all over him.
I snuck a glance of him in the corner. Other girls?
What? What you mean?
I mean, girls be trying to get with him, but he don't pay them no mind.
Not like you.
She took another greedy sip. When you get to high school, all the boys are gonna want you. My heart fluttered like bee wings.
You think so?
Yeah, 'cause you're real pretty. That's probably why he's trying to claim you early. The DJ turned up the music a little louder. And oh, came from the crowd, everyone feeling the vibe. Those standing around piled in the center of the room.
Y'all come on, Megan said, pulling us all off the couch.
At first everyone did their own thing, but then a boy jumped in the middle, doing dances that Monday and I had perfected months ago.
I could do that,
I laughed, the liquor letting all kinds of words slip out my mouth.
Girl, what are you waiting for then?
Kit Kat shouted, pushing me into the middle.
No, I...
With her hard shove, I slammed right into the boy. He smirked, popping in my face, and I laughed. He thinks he's really doing something, I thought. Let me show him how it's done. With the alcohol, I felt lighter somehow. A weight lifted off my back. And that's when I started to move. I mean, really move. Hitting every step. The boy and I battled, folks cheering us on.
Get it, Claudia!
Megan screamed over the music. Just like that, I'm back in my living room, in my bubble with Monday, feeling alive. Next, the DJ put on a go-go track, and everyone joined us in the chop shop. The song ended with cheers and high fives all around. Megan hugged me, laughing like crazy as we kept dancing. And as happy as I felt, I couldn't help thinking that Monday had always wanted to be a part of this crowd. She wanted this life. And here I am, living it without her.
Damn, you're so sexy when you dance, a deep voice said behind us.
Megan's back straightened before she spun around.
Oh my God, you came!
Cam grinned, and she jumped into his arms.
I thought you couldn't make it, Megan said, her face red and sweaty.
They started kissing and swaying slow. I felt silly standing there watching them, but I didn't know where else to go. The girls were back on the sofa with the boys, kissing. I mean, really kissing. Tongues in each other's mouths, hands up shirts, touching their mother's bras. So I stayed on the floor, next to Megan and Cam. I kept dancing, lost in the music until some boy pushed up behind me, holding my hips. I froze, looking to Megan for help. She nodded and mouthed, and it's okay.
It's cool. This is what girls do at parties, I told myself, and kept dancing, with a boy I couldn't see,
the alcohol making my waist whine faster. The boy pulled me tighter to him, heat pulsing off his chest, and it felt, well, good. Like I could dance all night with him. My heart raced, wondering if it was Michael moving on me like this, touching me like this. But I'm not just some church girl now. I glanced over in the corner, at Michael talking to some girl with long gold braids, smiling all in her face. Didn't he care some guy was rubbing on my booty, breathing all hard in my ear?
Damn, I didn't know you could do it like this, the guy whispered over my shoulder, and my entire body hiccuped before I wiggled out of his grip. Jacob. What's up? He said with a smirk, reaching for my waist again. I shoved him, disgusted. How could I have let him feel up on me like that? How could I have betrayed Monday? My stomach heaved, and I raced to the back, cupping my mouth. I needed a bathroom. Claudia, wait, hold up, he called, chasing after me. We gotta talk. We ain't got nothing to talk about. You did my friend dirty. He scanned the room, checking if anyone overheard me. But with the party popping, no one paid us any mind. He gently held my arm, pulling me toward an open room in the back. Come here for a sec. I gotta tell you the truth. I snatched my arm back, fumbling, the liquor making my body extra light. You think I'm stupid? I ain't going anywhere with you, so you can turn around and say we did something. And I ain't never gonna do something with your Bama ass. Jacob huffed, steadying a hand on the wall in the hallway, so I couldn't pass him. What are you doing here anyways? I'm chilling with my friends. You mean Megan and them? Really? Why you say it like that? I snapped. No reason. My brother just all in love with her, so I guess she's aight. I peeked over his shoulder at Megan, dancing with Cam, both lost in each other's eyes. Your brother? Cam's your brother? He chuckled. Yeah, we got different dads, but we still brothers. No wonder I thought he looked familiar. But Cam's a good guy. And you're... Jacob's face tightened. Man, whatever. I swallowed. You said something about you were going to tell me the truth. What'd you mean by that? Jacob rolled his eyes. Aight, look. Me and Monday, we did do something. He took a deep breath. She sucked my dick. I didn't really want it to happen. It just kind of did. Ew, that's nasty. You lying. I swear on my mom she did. She just kept saying she really wanted to be together, was trying to come in my house and stuff all the time. My mom said she was too fast. That word fast stuck out like a thorn threatening to pop my bubble. No way. Monday would never do something like that. Right? And then you turn around and told everybody we were lesbians. He sighed, stuffing his hands in his pockets. My brother said it was foul, what I said about y'all. So I went by her house to apologize, but her mom kirked out on me, chased me down the block. Guess I know why now. Wait, you went to her house? When? You know, right after school ended. I thought I'd see her on the courts for the league games, or maybe at the rec center, since she took those swim lessons. But I didn't see her all summer. His eyes went blank for a moment, as if thinking back. Then school started, and then she was gone. My foggy brain tried to catch everything he threw at me with slippery fingers. Rec center? Swimming? She never hung out at the rec center, I mumbled. His face screwed up. You kidding? She was there almost every day. He's lying, I thought. But it was hard to ignore the way his eyes went childlike talking about her. Man, I be thinking about what happened. All the time now. He sighed, shaking his head. You miss her, right? I swayed like breeze hitting a tree, my body weightless. Hey, Claudia, you aight? Jacob asked, grabbing my arm to stop me from falling. What's going on over here? Michael stood behind me, like a big-ass shadow, his voice booming. Jacob had to arch his neck just to look at him. Nothing, Jacob muttered, letting go of me. We were just talking. Michael gave him a once-over. He cracked his knuckles against his side, putting a hand on my shoulder. Come on, let's get you some water. I nodded, ready to run away from Jacob and the thoughts that had my head spinning. As we walked off, I yelled over my shoulder,
Don't even think about telling people we danced together at this party.
Jacob rolled his eyes.
Yeah.